Coming up, Chris Paul, Warriors? That's next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Lebara ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. We can find The Mismatch with Kevin O'Connor. You can find the Ringer NBA Draft Show with Kevin O'Connor. You can find Kevin O'Connor on part one of this podcast that we did late last night after Marcus Smart got traded to Memphis, Porzingis to the Celtics, Tyus Jones to the Wizards. If you missed that, go check it out. This is part two of Draftapalooza. Who knows how many parts we're going to have. We're going to do this one. It's a quickie. It's about the Chris Paul trade to the Warriors later tonight after pick 25. I'm so excited the Celtics have a pick, KOC. We're going to have at least that. So this will be either a three or a four part day. We'll see. Let's bring in Pearl Jam. All right, KOC, Russell and I talked about this trade on, I think, Sunday night's podcast or maybe a week before about Jordan Poole for Chris Paul. Could Chris Paul work on the Warriors? And I was pro. Russillo was against. He thought too much movement. Chris is a pick and roll guy. He's a little more old school. How does he fit in? And somehow the trade ended up happening. I think I willed it to happen. I think I have the power to make fake trades on this podcast. To actually transform them into real life. I'm very excited about
trade
myself.
Trade machine Picasso coming to life.
People are listening. In all seriousness, what'd you think?
For the Warriors, I view it in two different ways. Chris Paul raises the collective IQ of the team. I mean, like going from Jordan Poole to Chris Paul, it's an upgrade in that sense, providing more playmaking in ways that Jordan Poole couldn't provide off the bench behind Stephen Curry. And I think it's also insurance for Draymond Green. If Draymond were to leave in some type of sign and trade scenario to Dallas or Phoenix or whoever it might be, for the Warriors, you could have Chris Paul kind of absorbing that, you know, guy who's bringing the ball up the floor more often. Granted, like, they're different types of players, they're different sizes, they're not anywhere in the same universe on defense, but offensively, I think you could see Paul more in that Draymond role. However, I'd expect Draymond to be back. And then those guys are going to have to learn how to operate together, which leads to those Russillo concerns.
Yeah.
Now, like, how does Chris Paul adapt? Does Steve Kerr adapt the offense, or are we going to see Chris Paul taking more spot up threes than he ever has in his entire career? Is he going to adapt as a mover without the ball? Those are questions that I think are going to come after we find out about Draymond, but I'm intrigued overall for Golden State. It's an upgrade.
One thing about Chris Paul, way more malleable than you would think. If you look back at his career history, this is now another trade for him. I think this is the sixth time he's been traded.
That's amazing for a Hall of Famer.
And not counting the crazy Laker trade, right? With Gasol and Lamar Odom and all that stuff that happened.
Is that the most times a future Hall of Famer has been traded in their career?
I mean, it's got to be up there. That's a good one to research. Yeah. Six is pretty high.
That's a lot.
You're talking about, you know, even like guys like Bob McAdoo who got basically released by the Nets. I don't even think he got traded six times. But one thing with Chris, so you get through the New Orleans stretch of his career, the Lakers trade almost up. Then he goes to the Clippers and it's, you know, pick and roll with him and Blake and him and DeAndre. But then he has that weird Houston stretch, right? Where he's playing kind of dueling banjoes a little bit with Harden, but he's off the ball way more than we ever thought. And that team won 65 games. It kind of worked to some degree. Then he goes to OKC and they have their crunch time lineup was him with Schroeder and SGA. And we're like, whoa, this is weird.
And that's what you're going to be looking at if you're the Warriors saying, okay, we can make this work.
Right. So then he goes to Phoenix. He's back to a more traditional role. Then all of a sudden KD shows up and now he's a little off the ball more. So I think he's more malleable than maybe he gets credit for. The reason I liked it is just you need him for 4 months. You need them in March, April, May, June. I don't even care about the first part of the season. They have plenty of rookies and people. But we haven't seen a lot of guys, a lot of like point guard initiator people with Curry basically his whole career. Monte Ellis wasn't like that. Livingston was, but Livingston, they caught him at a different point of his career. And that Iguodala was really important that he could do stuff where he could initiate the thing. They could run plays through him. And then Draymond, obviously. Other than that, like Poole always to me was like a shoot first guard who, if he had the ball over midcourt, it might be going up. I don't feel like he made like Curry better. CP might actually make Curry a little bit better. That's going to be so fascinating to watch, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited there. Like, I think that's what they hoped Jordan Poole would be able to develop, and he just never did. But now with Chris Paul, like, you have a guy who, like, yeah. I mean, I think Ryan's right that he's going to have to adapt more than ever, like, more than he did with Oklahoma City Thunder with this type of system for the Warriors. But it is going to be fascinating to see just how Steve Kerr utilizes Chris Paul in this offense, because he is somebody that, like, he likes to slow it down. And for the Warriors, they like to play quicker. They like to play faster. But the fact they have now this tool that they can turn to and say, we can play any way we want to with Chris Paul. I think that type of flexibility that they're going to have on offense, it does, you know, add a new wrinkle for Stephen Curry as well, where you have this magnificent playmaker who can find you exactly where you want it with the ball. Granted, you know, like for Steph, his bullseye is wide, right? Like you don't need to give him a perfect pass for him to have a high percentage shot. So, but I just think for Chris Paul in this role, I think for him, it's going to also raise questions about Draymond, though, assuming he's back, because now you're in a position where Draymond once had to have the ball in his hands less when Kevin Durant was added. KD was more of a mover off ball, more of a scorer off ball. You can use him off pin down screens.
A mini isolation guy.
Yeah, for sure. And now with Chris Paul, he's not going to be moving that much, I don't think. So is he going to be playing even fewer minutes? Maybe Chris Paul is a 25-minute guy. That's always possible.
How about
too.
20?
It could be a 20-minute guy.
He's in the 05 draft.
Maybe that's what you want from him.
Yeah.
Is you get more out of Chris Paul and he's not playing as many minutes. So I don't know what Steve Kerr is going to do, but it's a really fascinating deal. Like, I don't think we could have ever, you know, imagined Chris Paul going from hated, you know, Warriors rival to
we got to talk about all that stuff. Quickly on the basketball side of things, it's clear that they had this chasm between the adults and the guys who had already won then the young kids who were ready to play. And I think they really underestimated what kind of chasm that would be, where you have guys, not just Poole, but Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman before they traded them, guys who were like, I'm young, I want to play basketball. And I'm psyched that we won the title last year, but that was last year. Now am I going to get to play? And my sense, you know, with it, feeling around the situation from the Warriors side, was like, we need more adults. We need hoops IQ people. Yeah. So Wiseman goes. Why does Wiseman go? Even though everyone agrees there's a lot of talent, because it's a hoops IQ is a little low, right? They bring in Peyton, somebody who fits in. Chris, from a hoops IQ standpoint, now you have him, you have Draymond, you have Clay, you have Looney, you have Peyton, you have Curry.
Smart team.
Seven guys.
Yeah.
Now it's like, can you work in the fringes and get one more veteran free agent? And now you're kind of back to your identity of the hoops IQ team. I think Chris, one of the things I was thinking was like his signature shot, that little, you know, set me a pick, I'm going to wear, all of a sudden I'm at the foul on top of the key and I hit that little
pole. Yeah.
It's a little easier to get that one off when Curry and Clay are doing circles and the defense is so terrified of where Curry's going. And now I have all this space. Like, that was one thing with that team. That space around the foul line was always wide open, right? That was where they just gave Draymond basically like, hey, man, knock yourself out.
Yes.
We're going to give you whatever you want. I don't think you can do that with Chris, because that's his area.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think there could be overlap with Draymond. Like, Draymond's going to have to now take a backseat as well, because if Chris Paul's better in those situations where he gets the ball in that area of the floor, he is such a much more dynamic threat, still to pass, but also to handle and pull up and make a defense pay with a shot that he hits, you know, 45%+, or even with the wide open, you know, for that, it could be 50%+ this coming season. He's had years like that. So I think with them, you're going to see Chris Paul in that Draymond type of role. And then it's on Draymond to adapt, probably more so than Chris Paul in actuality. And
That'll go great. I'm just looking up his minutes as you're talking. Keep going.
If Draymond returns, though, I mean, I think with them, like, the Warriors are going to have to pay. I think there are going to be teams that offer a lot in sign and trades.
Well, the pool being out of this, I think solves
more.
One piece yes, of this.
For sure. Now
because
that
it was clear
expiring.
It was clear that couldn't come back. I was just extremely dubious that both of those guys were coming back again.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that the fact that Poole and Draymond are broken up, you can feel better about it. Chris Paul being on an expiring deal. If you pay Draymond Green and you just let go Chris Paul go next year, or you sign him on a value contract, you know, to the latter stage of his career, then it makes much more sense financially for you than with Jordan Poole being part of that equation. I wonder, like you mentioned though, how like that kind of, you know, the friction between the young guys and the older guys, are they done though? Like could Kuminga and 19 still be packaged together? As we talk now this afternoon,
I don't think they're done. And if Curry would never come public anything with him.
Yeah.
Same with Kerr. But I think there was a window that I think everybody in that organization feels like they lost a year last year. Mm-hmm. Could they have beaten Denver? I don't know. I think Denver beats everybody last year.
Yeah.
But if you're them, it's like we have Curry. He's this transcendent guy. And, you know, we didn't put a good enough team around him.
And better than ever, really.
Chris Paul in 2015 was 35 minutes a game. And that dropped to basically the 32 range, incredibly, for the rest of his career. Even the last two Phoenix years, he was 32.9 and 32. And it felt like each year it was the car. Really started with Houston in 2018. They put a lot of miles on him, especially in the playoffs, and he finally broke down at the worst possible time in the Warriors series. If he's playing, you know, let's say he plays 60 games, and he's playing 22 minutes a game in the regular season. And you're just like, hey, Chris, you're going to come in with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Give us 9 to 10 minutes. Same thing in the fourth quarter, 9 to 10 minutes. Probably not going to play with Steph that much unless there's crunch time situations for us. You're going to run our second offense. And we just want to get you to the spring. He fucking hits the lottery if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm him, I don't want to play. What records is he going for? You know, like maybe there's like some assist stuff he can climb, but for the most part, this guy just wants to win the title. He hasn't even been in the finals.
Yeah. I think for Chris Paul, that's probably a blessing to go to the Warriors in that sense.
That's how I feel. He's playing with a bunch of smart dudes.
Mm-hmm.
He's with Curry, you know, that a guy that he's battled over the years, but you're still, you know, if you look at over the years with Chris, like he was with Blake in those Clipper years where Blake, there was a stretch there where he was one of the best five players in the league, right? So he had James Harden he got to play with when James was at his MVP apex.
35 points per game guy, right. Elite efficiency.
He got to play with Booker and Durant. He got to play with a young Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You know, he's had a way of floating around. There's still like this amazing what if with his career though, where if that Lakers deal just goes through and mm-hmm. he's with, it's basically like Kobe and, I don't even remember who else was on that team, but it was Kobe starting to hit a different point of his career. I actually think it was good that that deal didn't happen for Chris. You know, maybe it wasn't good for the Lakers, but he goes to the Clippers and came really close a bunch of times. Now he's on a team that I would say, put him second or third.
Well, Denver's one.
Phoenix is two. I bet. Can you put Phoenix two? And we don't know who's on their team.
We don't know what their roster is going to look like yet. I think we could put the Warriors in it too now.
I think that's fair. The other team, I think maybe they're 2A and the Lakers are 2B because we don't know who the Lakers are getting. Like they're like right now we're taping this. It is 2:05.
Well, where do the Lakers stack up in this as well? Should we give the Kings more respect in year two?
We don't know if Barnes is coming back.
Yep.
With the Lakers, we're taping this a couple hours before the draft. We don't know if they're going to take 17 and package up. So yeah, I think Kings are in there. And then Grizzlies probably have one more move to make too, but they're going to be really dinged by the Ja suspension.
Mm-hmm. And like we saw on the standings this past season, like if they're, you know, a few games worse because of the 25 games without Ja, that means they're in the play-in conversation potentially rather than, you know, home court advantage.
So it's Denver unquestionably won.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
And then that two spot between Phoenix and Golden State and the Lakers and maybe Sacramento, depending what they do. And then who knows with Memphis. But
how about the Clippers? Do they deserve that respect at all? No?
Just throwing them out there. No respect. And I might spit on the table. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. All right, come back. Tate Frazier joined us. He'll be on the little draft pod we're doing tonight. What was your immediate reaction to Chris Paul You've always liked Chris Paul.
Yeah, North Carolina guy, Wake Forest guy. You know, his book is selling right now. This is not a promo for his book, but the story of 61, the points that he scored for his grandpa. One of the greatest like North Carolina basketball stories around. And I think this is a tale as old as time. If you can't beat him, join him. So there you go.
Well, unfortunately for you, he's joining Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Your dream in life was the Steph Curry thing to just completely flame out.
We're just kicking the can down the road. Steph Curry at 40 comes home to the Hornets.
Well, here's the thing. And we don't know because the draft odds, by the time people hear this, we'll probably know who's going number two. But the draft odds with Scoot, one of the craziest things we've ever seen. He's plus 160 this weekend. It starts shifting. All of a sudden, he's favored. Then Woj does a tweet, I think 2 days ago. Boom, it flips again. Miller's like minus 400. Then today, all of a sudden, Scoot's minus 400. And listen, and we'll talk about this more tonight, but I just think you have to take Scoot. I think he has the most value. But it made me think, like, long-term, is that your Curry trade?
Maybe. Good,
if the Warriors rebuild... Curry goes.
I feel
home.
Like LaMelo is
KOC smiling.
LaMelo for Curry is the trade, right? I mean,
the Warriors can't do that though because they passed on LaMelo. They can never admit defeat.
They write their wrongs. That's what it is. Thing.
Let's talk about the Washington piece of this quick. Jordan Poole to the Wizards. Tyus Jones yesterday to the Wizards. Kuzma, do we think he comes back?
There's a chance. If he
what's the market for him?
I don't think it's as strong as that report saying he hopes for 30 plus million per year. It's not that strong.
No.
So it's a matter of like, I think so for some of these teams that have cap space like Utah, San Antonio, Houston, people around the league are wondering who's going to make the Austin Reeves offer sheet, who's going to make the Kyle Kuzma offer. And so far it seems like
Reeves over Kuzma, right?
I'm not hearing a lot about Reeves right now. That's pretty quiet. So unless a team comes out of nowhere with an offer there, maybe Kuzma's the guy they go for.
Reeves is like 4 years younger, though.
And that's the thing I'm confused about because Kuzma's in his late 20s.
Maybe teams feel like the Lakers are just matching anything. Why do I want to waste my time on July 1st? They're just going to match it.
That is part
of it. I go the other way, Tate, because I'm a spiteful guy.
Yeah. $105 million offer.
Yeah,
If
I'm a Western contender, I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah.
Matching or not, like I want to like wound the Lakers, pay $99 million for
do what the
Reeves.
Pacers did right with Ayton last year, give him the offer, and that was one of the first times they've given a restricted free agent that kind of offer, and they said, okay, if you want him, pay for him, and he actually got a favor from the Pacers.
We talk, Russell and I talk about this all the time because we're just naturally opposed on this topic. Because no, you got to do favor. He's like, and he's right. And I'm sure you've heard the same KOC where teams are like, no, you gotta play the game, you gotta do right by the agents. I just don't feel like it ever gets paid back if you're the team.
It never does get paid back.
You go to the agent, like, hey, man, remember 2 years ago? And it's like, yeah, fuck you. Pay me more money.
When does it ever get paid back?
So I would just always be in like competitive, fuck everybody else over mode. And the Austin Reeves thing's a perfect example. If I had the cat, if I'm Sacramento, I was like, fuck it.
San Antonio, right?
Yeah, Houston. San Antonio.
The Spurs are the team that I think about most.
And he'd be good on San Antonio.
Be perfect. Pair him with Wimby and Devin Vassell, Kelvin Johnson. Like, I'd love Austin Reeves on the Spurs.
Well, if I had said anyone else with the Wizards was running the Wizards, I would say they're going to fucking pay him $125 for free or so, you know, something, and then House will complain about it. But this new regime actually seems to be approaching this correctly the way we would if we were running a team where it's like, yeah, we're not good. Let's suck this year. Let's try to get assets from other teams. Let's take bad contracts. You know, keep them coming this way. I don't think they'll overpay Kuzma is my point.
I don't think they'll overpay him. Maybe they sign him to like a fair value deal, like a 3/80, something along those lines.
Or like a 370 where it's like 25, 22, and then
the declining
20,
deal,
something like that.
Maybe
there's
a non-guarantee on the third or the fourth year, something along those lines. I think for Washington, that's one of the reasons why they wanted that Landry Shamet contract, because there's the team option. It's a flexible piece that they could deal in any type of situation.
Right.
It could be taking on big money contracts. It could be in a deal where they're giving up more assets to get a good quality player for a team that doesn't want to take on money. So if Kuzma has that on his back end, I'd expect them to kind of target deals like that. Maybe if they re-sign Tyus Jones after this season, it could be a similar type of situation.
Or they trade him in February.
That could happen too, because he's going to be a sought-after point guard.
They're like, Jordan Poole, last year your teammate punched you in the face. This year, 25 shots a game. Knock yourself
out.
He's
going to win most of the
We don't care
player.
About wins or losses.
He's literally already unfollowed Draymond. I mean, literally, as soon
is
that as
that happened,
that was already reported. I guess people were already looking at his follows. He says, I'm out of here.
Wow.
I'm not following this
already.
Guy.
Already?
So, yeah. I mean,
you know,
wow.
It's so funny.
Someone punches you in the face. I mean, it's a fair move.
It's so funny when this stuff happens. And I remember for me, like, especially in the podcast, because it's different than writing, because mm-hmm. you can, there's a little more nuance that you can describe stuff. But I remember talking about the Quippers during the Blake CP3 era and just finding out different ways to basically say, yeah, this team doesn't really like each other. And then I would get this huge pushback. Why is he saying that? What's your agenda against the Clippers? And just like third parties. And then the moment it all blew up, everyone was like, yeah, we all hated each other. And it was like the Durant Draymond thing. It's like, no, it's fine. No, they worked it out. And then right after it happens, KD's on a podcast. It was like, yeah, it was never the same. Mm. It got totally fucked up. And the Draymond Poole thing is like another example of that. Oh, right? Yeah. No, it's fine. We're moving past it. It's like, you didn't move past it at all.
Which, like, is fair.
If you punch KOC right now, we'd be like, man, we got to figure this out.
It would always be weird between us. We would get past it. We'd still do our shows. But it was like,
Tate goes to grab a water and you're like flinching backwards.
There's also like the college rivalry part of it too. Michigan State. Like, there's just a lot of contrasting things there with those two guys. And there's like a finesse versus like a force aspect of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And also Jordan Poole took his money. And Draymond's mind, he's like, you took my contract, and now he ships him out and he gets that money probably.
You took my contract, and then they leaked the video and nobody was ever caught.
Did we ever find anything out about that, how it leaked?
I'm obsessed with this topic ever since Verno mentioned this a couple days ago. I was actually asking a couple different people I knew. I was like, what are the odds that a team wouldn't know how that video got out? And they're like, low. Just they flat out low. There's only so many people in the room. Wait, Kyle, is your mic on? Oh, forget it. I was going to ask Kyle. Well, Kyle, you're the only person in the room probably who's, you've been in fights. You've been probably punched. Were you able to forgive people who punched you?
One guy tried to punch me. It was my friend. He missed. He hit somebody else. I never forgot that.
Yeah. See, there you go. Kyle never forgot the one time his friend punched him.
Mm-hmm.
CP and Curry together. Can we go over the history? Like, the Warriors fans hate CP.
Yes.
And this goes back to the Clippers-Warriors series a million years ago when...
2015 was the year. Yeah. It was like the Clippers finally are going to get over the hump. You know, the Warriors are going to have to wait for the Clippers, kind of like Michael Jordan and the Bad Boy Pistons. You know, it's like, it's still Isaiah's time. It's still Chris Paul's time.
We had Sterling thing happens. Right.
And then Curry just kind of jumped him in the line. And, you know, CP3, no matter what he says, I mean, he went from very friendly, I want to mentor you, to, no, we're
not
rivals.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Doc and I talked about this when he came in the pod a couple weeks ago about how Chris Paul in Game 7, which I went to, just completely manhandled Curry from the moment the opening tap, and the refs kind of had to decide right away what they were calling. And, you know, it's the classic PJ Tucker move where it's like, I let that go. And then it's like, well, I let that go. And Chris Paul's just like clotheslining him and clubbing him, and Curry fought through it. But it was so much fun to watch him go at it. And it did feel like a moment where CP's like, no, I'm the fucking guy. I'm the point god. Who are you? Mm-hmm. And then over the years, the Warriors beat them every time. And now he's joining the Warriors. Is he going to take shit like KD did?
I think
probably not.
I don't think so. And I think also the Warriors fans probably will fall in love with him because Chris Paul and Stephen Curry have such a, you know, long history with each other that they're going to be so nice to each other now. And I think this is the greatest PR move of Chris Paul's career. I really do. I think going to the Warriors, playing beside, you know, Steph Curry, showing that he can defer to another point guard, also letting Steph Curry kind of evolve and be off the ball and still be a shooting guard at times. It makes them versatile. And we talked about Draymond initiating the offense. Guess who can initiate the offense?
CP.
Chris Paul. I mean, that's the interesting part to me. What does Draymond do now that Chris Paul takes away some of that responsibility from him?
He's going to have to adapt. I mean, assuming he's back, we just don't know how yet. Like, Draymond, is he going to be, you know, corner three-point shooter at 22%?
I don't think so. Yeah, I just don't see that.
I know. I wonder what Steve Kerr is thinking about right now from a philosophical perspective. How do we make these guys work together, Draymond and CP?
It's for him, it's much easier than making it work with 19 and 20 and 20-year-old guys.
Right.
Like, he's like, this is an adult that I can talk to and explain shit to. Because Chris is, you know, he's a little spiteful. He's kind of a dick, which I think is one of the things we love about him. Even after he got traded, he went out of his way very intentionally to mention Isaiah Thomas over and over again, who doesn't work for the Suns. And he's like, I think Ishbia and Isaiah. Like, all that was like purposeful.
He said it everywhere. Interview.
Every single interview.
Yeah, Good Morning America, too. Like, this is national TV. This is like your, you know, wives and moms at home are like, oh, Isaiah Thomas is with the Suns? You know, everybody knows.
Guess who didn't like Chris Paul? Isaiah Thomas.
Sometimes you know you don't like who you are. You're very similar, right?
Isaiah Thomas was the best pure point guard of all time, and I still feel that way. He's still my number one pick. But then Chris Paul comes in, and it's like, no, Chris Paul's the point guard. He's the best point guard ever. And Isaiah Thomas, still competitive. He's probably like 60 at this point.
So you think the Suns moving him was a little political, too?
Well, I think partly political and partly let's get our own guys in here. He can't stay healthy. He's broken down. I mean, you can make the case against Chris pretty
quick. It's an upgrade.
He breaks down every single year. Bradley Beal fits in better. We'll figure out the point guard thing. But the reason I mention this is because Chris is a little spiteful. At some point, he'll give the interview about Warriors culture, to your point about embracing Steph. This is what a great organization this is. This is the classiest organization. I was on New Orleans when we were almost getting sold.
He's going to call Lake up Joe. He's going to be like, Joe's been honest with me from day one.
I've never had an owner like Joe.
Yeah, right, exactly. he's light years ahead.
Yeah, he went from that crazy New Orleans thing. Yeah, light years ahead.
Oh, no.
He had Donald Sterling. He had the Ballmer, who then basically he got the fuck out of there. Mm-hmm. He had the Fertitta in Houston, that whole situation. OKC, he was barely there. Then goes to Phoenix. He has Sarver. And then Ishbia. I don't know. It seems like he kind of blindsided him. So now it goes to where it's like, this is great. Finally a classy. And then it's like just insulting everybody who's ever played with, which I vote for that, Chris Paul.
Is this his last stop?
Probably not.
I think he's going to keep going past.
Well, how many teams was Jason Kidd on ultimately? Like he was on the Knicks. Was there a stop after the Knicks?
I mean, he was everywhere. I mean, I think there's a world in which Chris Paul ends up back in Charlotte at some point, like on a Tony Parker type contract. You know what I mean? Where he just is close to home, just makes it work for 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe tries to mentor a younger guy. The thing that I'm concerned about when it comes to Phoenix is Ishbia, if it is Isaiah, if Chris Paul is right and he's saying Isaiah is involved, this would be like if I worked for Michael Jordan, right? Because it seems like Ishbia grew up a fan of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
It would be hard for me to not agree with everything Michael Jordan said. I would say, great point, Michael. Let's do that, Michael. Are we worried that there might be a little bit of that?
I don't like your idea, Michael. Yeah, you're not saying that.
You're not saying that to a guy that you looked up to as an idol as a kid.
Yeah, it's like, where do you want to go to lunch? Michael's like, I'd like sandwiches. Like, great point, Michael.
Oh, man, I love sandwiches.
I was just thinking how much I wanted a sandwich.
But isn't he involved? Like, isn't that
Ishbia?
No, that Isaiah Thomas is at least someone that Ishbia talks with. And his conversations he's with.
That's what
right?
I'm saying. That's what I'm worried about.
He is involved. Yeah. That's factual that he's involved.
He's way more than involved. And if I think Geppetto, he's like a conciliary. Yes.
And if he's Geppetto and he knows that Pinocchio is going to say what he wants him to say and do what he wants him to do, that's a very powerful spot to be in, especially if Isaiah is his idol, as most people have said he is. That's fascinating.
Isaiah is also, we have proof of him with the Knicks. Like, he doesn't care about future. Like, he traded... two unprotected picks for Eddie Curry.
We have more proof right now with what they're doing.
Well, we found out today, and we didn't talk about this the other day because we didn't know, but they announced the official trade, and it was pick swaps with Washington and Phoenix for 24, 26, 28, and 30.
Every year.
I assume they were unprotected. So now not only do they have no picks, but even the picks they have will be the worst version of the picks. It's not going to hurt them next year. They're going to be better than Washington. Might not hurt them in 26, but once you get to 28 and 30, so that Beal trade, that wasn't just, oh my God, what a hijacking. We stole Chris Paul, or we stole Bradley Beal for Chris Paul and whatever. It's like those swaps aren't nothing, KOC.
Yeah, they're not nothing, especially in the later years, 28.
Like the Celtics did one for Derek White, and I was like, oh, Jesus. And now that, like with that one, that's Wembanyama in 2028, where it's like, oh my God, he's going to be like the fucking best player in the league in 2028.
But you're all in right now.
I'm all in.
You're all in.
I'm not all in, though.
Well, yeah, you are. Like, you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and you're
upgrading. But I mean, would you have traded basically 8 first round picks plus Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson for Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant? That's insane. Nobody should want to do that.
No, I wouldn't have. No. I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't do that, right, Tate?
Absolutely not. But I mean, is it sacrilegious to say that I like what Washington is doing? I really do.
No,
like,
not at all.
Of course not.
Denny's the most tenured guy on the team right now, and I like Denny. And then you bring in Tyus Jones, and let's say hypothetical.
I think they're on a first name basis with him.
I mean, he's a star. And
you're like Doris Burke. He's like, they've got Denny, they've got Corey.
Well, you bring in Anthony, let's say, for example, you bring in like an Anthony Black, you put him next to a Tyus Jones, who can be a primary ball handler at some point in his career, Anthony Black, but he learns from Tyus Jones. He can play off the ball to start his career. I just like the youth movement of Washington. So, I mean, as much as Phoenix is all in, I like the future of Washington.
It's complete opposites. Like, Washington is all in on the youth movement, and Phoenix is all in on competing for right now. So they're not even worried about 28 and 30 with what happens there. I think, you know why?
Because they have a new owner who doesn't realize how much it's going to suck in 2028. I mean, but when he has no players left, and Devin Booker's like, get me the fuck out of here.
It is also hard to judge, though, what the Suns are right now without knowing what they're actually going to do this offseason.
Right.
I mean, it's very difficult to assess
the
roster.
Well, we know they don't care about the second apron. Our guy Windhorse reported that, where he's just like, if we're going to go over, we might as well like completely obliterate it. What do we care? The penalty's the same. I don't know if I agree with that logic, but at least it's logical. Like, okay, I get it. You might as well like completely annihilate it. So I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, I didn't even know some of these things where if you're over it three straight years, your first round pick just goes to the bottom.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they did the swap. Because if you go over the whatever the three straight years, the Wizards like, fuck, we're doing awesome. Oh my God. Forgot about the apron rule.
Well, I mean, now you have me wondering, though. I wonder if there's language in there where, like, if another team owns the right to the pick, it doesn't go to the back.
They're probably like adding that in right
now. I wonder because that's something I'm unsure. Hey,
so we didn't think about this.
Phoenix art is zagging. Unbelievable. I mean,
it's going to be amazing to see what they actually end up doing, though, because they still have DeAndre Ayton. Are they going to keep him? Or are they going to move him into like a group of wings and forwards? So you think so? Then if they move Ayton, that means they go with like Jock Landale, bring back Bismack Biyombo, go cheap at center.
Yeah.
But what do they get for Ayton? Like, what's the real value of DA right now? He struggled last year. He, ever since getting the contract, there's been concern about like how much does he actually care effort wise? Is he going to want to prove it in a new organization? Chip on his shoulder.
He feels like OKC waiting to happen to me.
San Antonio next to Wemby, something like that.
Oh, interesting. Not against that. Yeah, that one, so that we have the Ayton piece, we don't know what's happening, and then we have this Portland piece today that's going to unfold in a couple hours, and we should probably go soon, but who do you want them to take? Just let's go on the record right now. It is now 2:25.
From day one, the Hornets have told everybody, myself, Kevin O'Connor, that it's Brandon Miller, right? That is going to be the pick. But I think that was all because they thought
they
that
want
Portland.
To
they
swap
want Portland.
Picks of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They want to pull a Danny Ainge where it's like, oh, you guys really love Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
Well, trade us for him, right? But we actually like this other guy, Jason Tatum. But in this case, I think they love Scoot. I think they will take Scoot. I'll be excited about Scoot. And Scoot fits next to LaMelo. It makes a lot of sense. Like, LaMelo doesn't want to have to do the dirty work of getting downhill. Scoot can do it, right? Scoot can score in the mid-range. Scoot can have pull-up jumpers. And guess what LaMelo can do? Play the two, spot up, hit threes. It makes a lot of sense to me.
I don't think either of them are perfect fits with LaMelo, because with Brandon Miller, yes, you have the shooting and the spacing and the versatility with two big primary playmakers, but you don't have the guys who get to the basket. But then with Scoot Henderson, you have, a 6'2" guard. You don't have the defense. You have an iffy shooter. We don't know what Scoot's going to actually end up being.
Are you downing Scoot's defense?
Big time.
Scoot is a fucking Logan Roy alpha dog.
But
he's going to come in and tell everyone to fuck off and start throwing water around. Did you see the interviews with him? I said he was 28. I actually think he's 38.
Yeah.
What is his deal? You sent that picture to us today. He's got this body that it's like, what the hell is going on?
But
you're 19.
He's still 6'2".
Fine.
And LaMelo is not.
How tall is Donovan Mitchell? Is he 6'2.5"?
Yeah, something like that. But he's also supported by Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
Westbrook was 6'3"?
Yeah, the best thing that I saw about Scoot is that his mom had to bring his birth certificate to his games.
That's
like
such
that.
A good
that
story.
Is
Those
the best
are my
fact
favorites.
I've ever heard in my entire life. Yeah. You know what I mean? I heard that fact and I'm like, get Brandon Miller off my board. I want that guy. And
that's
was
such
10,
a good anecdote.
10 playing with 14-year-olds, 14 playing with 17-year-olds, 17 playing with 20-year-olds that are pros. I just like Scoot.
Scoot has an it factor about him.
Yeah.
And I think
they need the it factor more than anybody.
Well, and that's the argument in favor of him for Charlotte as well. Because with Miller and LaMelo, you wouldn't have necessarily that leader, that guy to grow into a leader. You'd have kind of two more,
two islands.
Chill guys who just do their own thing.
Dude, this is NFL. This is wherever they're going to take a defensive tackle second. And meanwhile, everyone wants a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, what happens? The quarterback goes in the spot because the quarterback always has the most value.
And that's what Scoot is.
Scoot's
He's more...
it factor has more value than Brandon Miller with these red flags around him. I thought the point that you made on one of the 20 podcasts you were on this week was about how there's basically...
I was on Dave Chang this week, too.
I know, you're all over the place. Now, there's basically, it's one of those weird NBA drafts, but there's three guys who would be a number one in a lot of other years. Because normally we'll have a year like the Wiseman LaMelo year, where it's like, somebody's got to go first. Like, who do you like? This year, like all of these guys, I think would have gone first.
Yeah.
Probably in other drafts, right?
I think it's a great top of the draft. And not to mention the Thompson twins, Amen and Asar. I think both of them are insanely talented, too. I like the top of this draft for Charlotte. Neither of them are like perfect fits, but they're both good fits. And I think with Scoot,
I could tell who Tate wants. Well,
I won't Scoot.
Well, I think with Scoot, that is the
Miss Kupchak won't Scoot.
When are you too old to wear a jersey?
I think now I'm 30. I think it's over.
What's the ruling on that?
I think it's over. Kyle says no every day. Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work.
You've seen Kyle happier. He just got married. You're back.
Yeah,
like look at him. He's peaceful.
Monogamy is back. You know
he looks like Hanks.
This is the best thing to happen to marriage in a long time.
He looks like Hanks at the end of Castaway. He's just like looking at the different roads, and then
it's
just
like
completely
he's wiser.
Peaceful. It's like a wiser Kyle. I don't understand it, Kyle. Wait, before we go quickly, because we talked to Celtics last night. We found out since then it's been kind of floated out there, reported that Smart was blindsided, which I thought was really interesting. And I think you and I have, you know, talked to some different people. It really seemed like part of this trade was they wanted to turn this team over to Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
And Smart was such a forceful personality in almost entirely good way, but he'd been there from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He felt like it was his team. It was those three guys. And I think the feeling seems to be like we needed to change the energy a little bit with the team, not to mention all the Porzingis stuff that comes in and Horford getting older, all the stuff we talked about yesterday. But I thought that was an interesting wrinkle to that. And it's a pretty great what if with the Clippers, because there's all kinds of different things about Brogdon right now, but it seems like the Clippers just couldn't get a physical in time. It was like they had to basically get the trade done by midnight. They couldn't get a physical situation that they felt comfortable enough with. So they were like, fuck it, we're out. We don't know about his arm. But then the reports are he might actually be back for the season. So I don't know. I just feel like this kind of, sometimes things work out for a reason and sometimes they don't in sports. This might have been one of those works out for everybody situations.
You know what else that said to me? Brad Stevens is unafraid to make those tough emotional moves.
Yeah.
We've seen Danny Ainge do that for years with some of the decisions that he needed to make, trading Perkins for Jeff Green, getting rid of Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes it ends up being a mistake, but Brad Stevens doing this, trading Marcus Smart, as beloved as he is, as the heart and soul of the team, being the leader he is, I think at least indicates like, hey, I'm going to do what I think is best for this franchise to have a chance to win a title.
Who's getting married in 2 months? That dynamic will change.
Yeah,
that's going to be awkward. Yeah,
we'll see who goes from the Celtics side. Mm. We almost traded Kyle 2 months before his wedding, but we kept him. We got a great offer. Somebody was offering us first rounders. On the Celtics side, I think like my dad was bummed out today, but also felt like it was completely necessary. But he was like, "Man, we were just with the guy a long time."
All my friends feel the same way.
Yeah, I was like, "Man, it was almost like I can't believe it's over." Like it was.
He was kind of like a mascot as well as like the emotional leader.
Yeah, he was the Tommy Points mascot. He really was. He was like the last connection to Heinsohn and.
Even,
I don't know.
Even the fact like he dyed his hair green for his mom. Like his mom wanted to see his hair green. And
I thought it was messed up they dyed his hair blue.
I saw that.
That's too far.
It is one of those things we talked about a little yesterday, but like looking back, just A+ the 9 years with Marcus, even though he probably took maybe a year and a half off my life ultimately. Like maybe I'll live to 85 now instead of 87 with some of the shot selection. but for the most part, like a pretty amazing pick to get that guy the seventh pick and have somebody's, I was thinking about him in the context of like the great role players they've had and, you know, he'll be in the conversation and these are with teams that won titles and stuff like that. So, it'd be fun to see him on Memphis. Verno was taking shots at us today.
Love it.
He didn't like our imitation of him.
I can't wait to talk to him in the morning. I'm so excited. It's probably going to be 30 minutes of Marcus
Smart. I
can't
wait for him to delete old tweets about Marcus Smart, about you know him being a flopper and all this
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, he didn't like Marcus Smart, right?
He really didn't.
He's going to love him now. He's going to love him now.
Well, he'll have some nicknames for Porzingis, too.
Oh, he will. What did he call him in the tweet? What was the phrase?
It was something demeaning. I can't tell if the imitations hit too close to home or he was completely outraged at our Southern accents. Probably the back.
He said,
read it in the Verno voice.
No, you do it, Kansas.
Come on, Kansas. Let's hear it.
Enjoy your hobbled stork.
Hobbled stork. Verno.
That's awesome.
What a legend. All right, we'll be back. Unless there's another trade, we'll be back. We're going to start taping after the Celtics pick at number 25, which I can't wait. My dad today was so excited. My dad went to sleep. He didn't know about the trade and woke up. And not only we traded Marcus Smart, but we had a pick. And he's like, I haven't done any research. So now he's just deep diving.
He's like
diving.
Texting you about Marcus Sasser. He's like, yeah. What do we know about Sasser?
I sent him some names. And I was like, man, if we can trade up into the 15 range, that's like Grady Dick could fall.
Yeah.
Hawkins could fall.
Kason Wallace. Talking about a Marcus
Bryce
Smart
Sensible
replacement.
Is a name that
One
could
of
fall.
Those guys is going to go like 16, 17. We'll be like, whoa, that's crazy value.
It's inevitable. Somebody's going to slip out of the lottery. There's just too many names that are in lottery consideration right now.
So. One of the things, the subplots I was thinking is if one Thompson goes like fourth, but then the other one falls to like 14, I think it's irrevocable for them. I think that's it. They probably don't hang out after that.
They blame the other one for like
within, intel. Yeah, they need to be within a couple slots of each other. If it's like a 10 spot difference, I don't know how you come back from that.
Yeah, I wanted like 4 or 5, but then they have to do like the Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, where they give each other
the hats.
They trade for each other. That'd be nice.
All right, this podcast was produced by a serene, mature, and just super happy Kyle Creighton. And we'll see you probably after pick 25. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
On a wayside.